Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gujarat Fluorochemicals Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Archit Joshi from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the 2Q FY23 earnings conference call of Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited. I would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Vivek Jain, Managing Director, Dr. Bir Kapoor, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. V.K. Soni, Head of Projects and New Initiatives, Mr. Manoj Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vibhu Agarwal, Head of Investor Relations. Without further ado, I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Vivek Jain for his opening remarks, post which we can have the floor open for a Q&A round. Thank you, and over to you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much, B&K team. On behalf of Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all of you. We are happy to inform that Board of Directors of Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited has its board meeting approved the financial results of the company for the quarter and a half year ended 30th September 2022. The financial results were uploaded on the website of the stock exchanges as well as the website of the company. We have also uploaded the earnings presentation for Q2 FY23. I will take you through this presentation initially, and then we can open the call for any questions that you all might have. Starting with the financial highlights at the consolidated level, for the quarter ended 30th September 2020 on YOY basis, the consolidated revenue for Q2 FY23 was at 1461 crores, up by 52%. Consolidated EBITDA for Q2 FY23 was at 536 crores, up by 81%. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY23 were up 37%. We are at 37% up 6 basis points on YOY basis. Consolidated PAT for Q2 FY23 was at 357 crores, up by 74% on YOY basis. If you look through a detailed overview of the financial performance during the quarter for each of the business verticals in which we operate, in caustic soda, the caustic soda revenue for Q2 FY23 stood at 189 crores as compared to 102 crores. In Q2 FY22, up 85%. Fluoromethanes revenue for Q2 FY23 stood at Rs. 80 crores as compared to 122 crores in Q2 FY22, down by 34%. Refrigerant revenue Q2 FY23 stood at 268 crores, which was at 92 crores in Q2 FY22, up 191%. PTFE sales for Q2 FY23 were at 443 crores. As compared to 360 crores in Q2 FY22, up 23%. The new fluoropolymer sales were at 341 crores, up 87% as compared to 182 crores in the same quarter previous year, that is Q2 FY22. Specialty chemical sales is up by 75% from 65 crores to 114 crores. Similarly, on the ROCE and ROE front, the ROCE is improved from 24.46% to 36.88%, and ROE is improved from 20.10% to 29.05% as compared to FY22. On the debt front, companies remains virtually debt-free with a net debt-equity ratio at 0.3. The working capital cycle, which got improved significantly during the last quarter, maintained in this quarter also at the same level of 119 days. As compared to 120 days as on 31st March 2022. On the capex and expansion side, the additional capacities commissioned for FKM, PVD, FNF, PFA during the quarter are under stabilization, and sales are expected to ramp up from Q3 FY23 onwards. And similarly, on the specialty chemical front, commissioning of new specialty chemical plants which were actually originally planned in Q2 FY23, got spilled over to Q3 FY23. These are now commissioned and expected to gradually ramp up production in upcoming quarters. We expect with all these companies poised to offer a sustained business growth with superior financial performance. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is the walkthrough of the presentation. I would like to open this up for any question that you might have, which we'll try to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. A couple of them. First, on the refrigerant gas side, despite 2Q being a very seasonally weak quarter, we see that the revenue growth has been quite strong. I think some of it is R125, but overall, we thought that this could be a more of a softer corner, but it looks like it has done phenomenally well. Can you help us understand what's driving the growth in the refrigerant gas, even in the very weak seasonal quarter? Is it the shortage of the product? It is that in seasonally weak quarter, they are getting a slightly a better pricing than what it will be in the seasonally stronger quarter. So what is driving this unusually high growth in HFC?
See, Sanjesh, as you know, as far as the main growth is coming from R125, where we are largely exporting to the US, and we have had orders which were to be executed during this quarter, which is what we were able to fully execute. So that is the reason why sales are there. And I think that this is a pattern which will continue in the future quarters also. So, you know, maybe there might be a dip for a month somewhere, but, you know, otherwise, by and large, quarterly performance should be fairly robust. R22, July, August, September, sales are still not so much down from a refrigerant point of view. There is some impact in October, November, December for sure, but July, August, September is normally good sales for refrigerants.
No, but I think R125, where are we in terms of capacity utilization, in terms of production and sales? And do you think this prices in HFC, particularly R125 and R32, are they now stabilizing, going up, or have they shown any sign of weakening any time now?
I don't see any signs of weakening. I think they stabilize at this level now. You know, the prices should remain stable. That at this point of time, that is what I can say. I don't see any substantial upside or downside on these prices.
And we thought that the R125 prices went up partly because of significantly higher power cost, freight cost, and all those things. And some of them have already started showing some corrections. So are we not seeing some of those benefits getting passed through, or it's purely the demand supply which is driving the prices in the R125?
See, largely demand supply, but also when, you know, customers will also always negotiate to try and see that you can bring down your prices, given the fact that there might be some reduction in some costs like logistic costs, etc. But, you know, what you are saying is maybe the difference, it could be plus and minus $1, $1.50, not something significantly more than that.
Great. Second question on the new fluoropolymer, sequentially it was flattish. While we have added capacity, two questions there. Can you help us with what has been the capacity addition in the new fluoropolymer for this quarter? Number two is, despite capacity addition, I know we said that we are stabilizing the plant. So from Q3 onwards, should it start adding materially to the revenue growth?
Yes. From Q3 onwards, maybe from 15th November onwards, you know, the two new additional reactors which we are commissioning for FKM would start coming in, and we should see additional sales happening in December, and from January quarter onwards, I think the full benefit of that capacity expansion will be evident.
So what is the capacity we have added
in FKM we are adding 200 tons per month additional, and in PVDA we are adding another 100 tons per month, which will come in line by maybe about January next year. It will be commissioned January next year, and there is some additional capacities which we are commissioning in PFA, for which also the product out will be from January onwards.
And have you added anything in the first half?
Sorry?
In the gone two quarter, have you added any capacity in FKM, PVDF and PFA?
We had added capacity of almost, I think, about 200 tons in April or so, April-May, which, you know, where you saw the bump up in FKM sales happening in from the quarter April to the last quarter. Telephone. Sorry. Sorry.
So we were 800 metric ton when we ended FY22.
No, we were 700 tons, Sanjesh, when we ended that, and we guided that we'll be 1500 by end of this year. The addition will keep coming through the year. We have added some capacity. Today we would be at around, say, tough, but 900 to 1000 tons, adding another 2 to 300. By end of this year, we'll be at 1500. That is how we should look at.
Got it. So from 700, we are already at 900 to 1000, and by end of this fiscal year, we should be at 1500. That's
close to 1500. Yeah. Well, give or take, you know, 1 month here or there, because, you know, there is sometimes always some delay or the other which takes place in commissioning. So give or take 1 month, I think we should be there. That is what we are targeting.
Got it.
And the ramp up of production and sales from there could happen over the next 6 months thereafter.
No, that's fair. We understand that it's time to take for stabilization, approval, audit and all.
Yes.
But on the real...
Jain, would request you to kindly come back and give her follow-up questions.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions and best of luck.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harsha from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening, gentlemen. Just two questions from my side. First is on the margin side. So our margin in this quarter also was very impressive. The prices are also holding up quite nice. Entering H2, where do you see the margins going to? Will it stabilize at 36% or you think with the ramp up of further new capacities, there is still some room before we end the year?
See, you know, frankly speaking, it is difficult to say, but, you know, as we have maintained earlier, We will, even with our expanded capacities, etc., which are coming up, we should be able to maintain a margin in excess of 30%. That is for sure. That is what I stated even earlier. You know, we were at 31, 32. I think our margins will remain upwards of 30%. Whether that will remain at 36, whether it will go down to 35, go up to 37, is difficult to extrapolate at this point of time.
Okay. And just second question from my side, for at least this quarter or this half of the year, can you please help me understand the breakup of our growth between how much of that was volume driven and how much of that was value driven?
I don't have the numbers here just now, but do you have the numbers here?
Sir, it is equal mix of both volumes and...
We have got, we deal in number of products, so it's fair mix of both volume as well as price both. We have got good prices in bulk chemicals and good growth in the new polymer and the polymer business.
Okay, so basically for this first half, we have done a revenue growth of almost 60%+, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
So you think that it is equally divided? Yeah, sorry, 50% is our revenue growth for first half. You think that is equally divided between volume and value?
Yeah,
volume and value both. Yeah, if you see year-on-year basis, that would not be the right comparison because that 700 tons had come in through the year, which is like commercialized in the first quarter.
Correct. Exactly. That was the reason why I was asking this question, to get a better understanding.
And it will continue to go further up.
Understood. Okay, that is it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. First is on this is a ref gases from Q1 to Q2. We have seen a remarkable improvement in revenue from almost 196 crore to 268 crore. Sir, it is all in the ramp-up of volume of R125 or we have also benefited any sort of price increase? And what is the current utilization of R125, including exports?
So, yes, of course, there has been a ramp-up of 125 and at this point of time would probably be at about 70%, 75%, 80% of capacity utilization.
So it means that there is further room for improvement in revenues from ref gases only by reaching 200% utilization, right?
Yes.
And sir, is there any possibility, given the solid demand environment in R125, and you are also mentioning the solid demand from in exports market in US, do we have any room for further expansion in R125 in the current
I think we have adequate capacity in R125. Cater to the demand which we are seeing in the next year. There is a certain amount of debottlenecking also which is in progress. So I think we should be able to meet the demand coming up in the next year.
How much is the scope for increasing capacity by debottlenecking further, which we are planning?
See, it's difficult for me to give you a number, but maybe about 10% to 15%.
Okay. And sir, in the pricing scenario, you see that remains solid in R125.
It appears to at this point of time. I see no great reasons why the prices will change substantially from here.
And sir, do we have also plans to expand our refrigerant gas basket to improve or to cater to some other gases also in blends?
So we have taken a investment decision to put up a new facility for making of R32 and equivalent capacity for the hydrofluoric acid which is going to be required for manufacturing this. This is likely to be commissioned by end of first quarter of calendar year 24.
Q1 CY24.
Yeah. Q4 2024.
Okay. And sir, any idea on the capacity which you are planning to put in R32 and the capex?
Currently we are looking at a capacity of 10,000 tons.
With the capex of?
Maybe capex is something which we are still streamlining the number, but it should be in the region of about 125 crores plus.
And it will be targeting the domestic or exports market?
Both.
Okay. Sir, second question is on our fluoro specialty chemicals, where we have seen some Q-on-Q, some slight decline. So you had a run rate of 119 crore revenue in Q1. This quarter is 114. Any particular drop or any delays in some shipments and how this business vertical is progressing, sir?
No, I think it's generally been flat in the last two quarters because, as you mentioned, the new plants which were supposed to be commissioned, there was a delay. And generally speaking, this year, the monsoons in Gujarat have been very severe. lot of the projects which were getting implemented have got delayed by, you know, 1 month to 4 or 5 months. So, you know, that unfortunately has been story across the board. And, you know, even till a short time back, rains were continuing. So, you know, that really has disturbed the implementation schedules for many of our projects. So the new plants for the new capacities which were supposed to have been commissioned in specialty chemical have, as we speak, just now have been commissioned. We will see ramp up of this business from these new plants to happen in the next 1, 2, 3 quarters. So business growth will start being seen from the specialty chemical segment from this quarter onwards.
So, sir, you are saying that it is constrained by capacity, not from the demand. There is nothing changes in demand.
No, not capacity. You know, the capacity of new plants which we are putting up, the new investments which we have put up, the plants which were under implementation, because of the monsoon, there have been delays in commissioning. And so, those plants which were supposed to have been commissioned in the last quarter are actually getting commissioned now, in this month. And so, we will see...
Otherwise, our capacities, I mean, old capacities are fully utilized. That's what
they are by and large fully utilized. But those are for different products. You know, these are for different products. You know, the new capacities you are talking about are for different products, which are now going to be, you know, sort of rolled out.
And sir, have you also witnessed any increased traction in your fluoro specialty chemical business, given the crisis which you are seeing in Europe related to energy?
Not really. We have not yet seen anything substantial for that reason in the fluoro specialty business.
And in fluoropolymer?
Well, fluoropolymer also, you know, the demand of course continues to be good, but that has yet not been impacted by anything which is happening in Europe. As I mentioned earlier, we have a diverse, you know, we are across diverse geographies. So what happens is if particular geography is slightly down, we have seen that we have the ability to make that up in the other geographies. We can push more quantities in other geographies, and this has been the case up to now. So even if there is weakening in demand in a particular geography, we hope that we will be able to more than overcome it by shifting products to other geographies. So we have a very, very wide variety, the range of products as well as the customers. We have a very, very diverse portfolio of customers. So for us to, sort of shift some quantity from one geography to the other is practically feasible.
Thank you, sir. We'll come back and give for follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is on the new age fluoropolymers. So if you can talk about the number of customers we are engaged currently with PVDF battery grade and PFA semiconductor grade, as well as when can we see some revenues coming from these two new products?
So, both in all our fluoropolymers, we have multiple customers. So, you know, at this point of time, for me to give a offhand reply on how many customers we have in each segment is going to be difficult. But coming to EV grade, battery grade, you know, as we have mentioned that, the grades have been developed. The grades have been sent for qualification to several customers in South Asia. And one or two laboratories in India as well as in Western Europe. So the process of, it is a fairly lengthy process of evaluation and testing and evaluation, which is currently ongoing. We expect that we, in the January-March quarter, we should be getting feedback from some of the customers to whom test samples have already been sent. And we can perhaps start commercial business from the second half of 2023 after the qualifications are over.
And for semiconductor grade PSA?
semiconductor will be a bridge for various applications of PFA. We are again for the semiconductor range. Our samples have been sent to customers for their approval. We have done our own internal checks and we find that the quality is meeting their requirements. Typically in situations like this, if there is some quality parameter deviation which is noticed by our customers, they point it out to us, and that is something which we then work on at our plant to rectify that and send the samples back again. So it's a bit of a back and forth which takes place, but I think PFA in the next 1 to 2 quarters, we should be able to have qualifications for applications in semiconductor also. Just now, even for other application, the demand is very strong in PFA.
Sure, sir. The next question is if you can update us on the solar film plant as well as LiPF6.
So LiPF6 plant is currently under construction. As we have said, we are expecting by, again, first quarter of the next financial year, which is April, May, June, that plant should be commissioned and we'll be able to send the samples across to customers for their approval. And once that happens, then we can start commercial production. But the plant is under implementation at this point of time. And we are hoping that mechanically the plant should be commissioned by February next year.
The solar film plant also, if you can talk.
The solar film facility will be ready by June next year.
Sure. The final question I have is on the realizations of FKM, PFA and PVDF, if you can talk about the same currently.
Well, you know, the realizations continue at this point of time. We have to see what happens in the next few quarters, but you know, that's it's difficult for me to say at this point of time again what will be the scenario, but I think FKM, the demand is fairly strong for our products. You know, I've been mentioning that we have developed so many grades of PFA now, which have been completely qualified by diverse customers in Europe and US and even in Japan. Of course, also in India. So, you know, the demand as well as the demand continues to be strong. We don't have too much of an issue on the pricing at this point of time. And PVDF also, the demand is strong, and we hope that by the time we commission our second reactor, which will happen in January, we will have enough of qualified customers to quickly ramp up the capacity utilization of that reactor also. Prices, more or less
range
stable.
Any range you can give of these three products, sir? Range of the prices over the last one quarter?
FKM would be, say, about $28 to $31, $32. PVDF would be a similar range, about $30. $28 to $30. PFA would be something like about $33 to $35.
Sure, that helps. This is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my first question is, for the last 5 quarters, it is great to see there is a continuous growth in the top line and operating profit margins are also consistent. So can you please summarize the key drivers behind the same and how these drivers look like to continue in the medium term, say, next 1 to 2 years from now? My concern is to ask this question because I simply want to know, as our bulk chemicals has been a significant contributor and in last 2 quarters, there is a significant growth in RFG as well. So this growth, and we know that there has been a rally in caustic soda prices as well. So can you please explain the future viability of this growth that we saw in last 5 quarters?
Well, in terms of volumes, our growth is going to come up largely from polymers, fluoropolymers, which is, you know, mainly from the new fluoropolymers, and from the battery chemicals, which we start commissioning from the first quarter of the next financial year, from April, May, June. So once that is where the real growth in the future will come. The other, of course, is the fluoropolymers. Other fluoropolymers will continue to grow because of they find utilizing, you know, there are multi-uses of different fluoropolymers in the entire EV battery ecosystem. And later on, of course, in the in the electrolyzer hydrogen fuel ecosystem also.
Good. And sir, what is our top line and bottom line guidance for next 2-3 years, and how operating margin is going to shape up for the same period?
I'm sorry, won't be able to give that. You know, we normally don't give futuristic guidance.
Okay, understood. And sir, you were talking about some R32. Sir, what is the size of opportunities and how we are looking at this thing?
So I just mentioned that we are putting up a 10,000 ton plant. And we hope in the next, after the plant is commissioned in a year or two, we should be able to get it to full capacity utilization.
And think you were mentioning that it will be commissioned by the end of financial year 23?
Yes. 23-24, yeah. By March 24, yeah.
Okay, understood. March 24, you are saying?
Yeah, March 24. Yeah.
Okay, understood. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That's okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Question on the new fluoropolymer business, on a QOQ basis, have the volumes, is it fair to assume the volumes have been flat on a QOQ basis in terms of our sales?
Yes, because of the fact that we were not able to commission new capacity in time to be able to build up volumes in the July-September quarter.
And sir, on the capacity that we installed, that we've already installed and commissioned, are we operating closer to peak capacity in the installed capacity, commissioned capacity in new fluoropolymers?
By and large, about 75-80% capacity in the last quarter again, because since we were in the process of commissioning these new additional capacities in PVDF and FKM, there was a shutdown which had to be taken for our backward integration plant, which is VDF plant, for hooking up. So that has been done. That shutdown which was necessary for hooking up has been done. So now as soon as these capacities get commissioned in this quarter, as I mentioned a few minutes back, in about 200 additional tons from end of November onwards this year, and PVDF from January of next year, we should see these additional volumes kicking in.
Okay. And so secondly, does the rough gas sales component also include some sales of R-142b gases also?
Sorry?
The rough gas, does it include R-142b gas sales also? Are we doing some of that third-party sales also?
No, that doesn't include anything on 142b.
And so, is there a plan incrementally to do that going forward?
See, this is something which we constantly evaluate. We look at both our own internal requirements and internal availability. Our first priority is to ensure that we have enough 142B available for our own internal captive consumption, which is for FKM as well as PVDF. In both these two areas, we are expanding capacities, as I've just mentioned. So, you know, after those capacity expansions are over, which will be during this quarter and January next year, we will then have to see what is the quantum of 142B which will be available for us surplus for sale outside. And if the prices are good, then only we will sell. Otherwise, we will not sell.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant. We have the next question from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on good set of numbers consistently coming after one quarter of the other. Sir, a few questions was of your sister company, Inox Wind, to whom you had extended loans and other things. Some positive figure is happening in that particular wind energy sector OF2, and the IPOs are coming out. Will it help in reducing our old loans, and related party transactions would also come to full stop?
Yeah, I think on this issue I stated a number of times, by March, by the end of this financial year, most of the related party transactions will be completely dealt with. So, as you rightly mentioned, there is an IPO which is coming up in Inox Green, and the promoters have also committed to pump in about 800 crores into Inox Wind, essentially for repaying the loan which has been taken from GFL. So by end of this financial year, the intention is to completely square off all these transactions.
And sir, what has been the impact of the current Ukraine war, Russia war, positive or negative for us, export getting impacted, paid costs also coming down? Any impact, and what is the opportunity size and growth rate in the next 2-4 years?
So to some extent it has helped in caustic soda, where because of higher energy prices in Europe, there is a export demand which has come up, so it has helped us in shoring up caustic soda prices. As far as polymers are concerned, at this point of time it's a bit too early for us to say anything. But as I mentioned, even the U.S. market and the domestic market, of course, are doing well, and also the Japanese market, if there is some slowdown which comes up in Europe, that slack can be picked up by the other geographies at this point of time. Unless, of course, that every geography is impacted by recession or something, then I suppose I can't say anything. But as it looks like, if there is some impact, and there's been talk about recessionary concerns in Europe, if that hopefully that impact could be mitigated by growth in our other geographies.
And the opportunity size and expected growth rate in the next few years, sir, a few words.
So as already mentioned, we are expanding our capacities on new fluoropolymers in FKM, PVDF, PFA, etc. So these will provide future growth possibilities. And as the EV battery manufacturing commences in India, Europe, and US, I think that will be a very big opportunity for us to sell our EV battery grade PVDF, as well as other fluoropolymers also, which are required in the entire battery ecosystem.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Hello?
Yeah. We have the next question from the line of Avdut from Newberry Capitals. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions about PTFE and FKM global supply scenario. Have you seen that, have you come across that there is a supply shortage in these two categories? Because I have come across few documents indicating automotives are getting force majeure from the suppliers in the Europe region. So how is the supply scenario in these two fluoropolymers?
Well, there have been some supply constraints in US and Europe for reasons of raw material disruptions. But despite that, the fact that our sales are robust is also because of the fact that there is, in fact, barely any new capacity which has come up in Europe and US for PTFE and FKM. And so the growth which is taking place is the one which is also creating some supply imbalance.
So we will be able to capture that supply imbalance if we have that variant at our end, right?
Yes, that's right. That is why we are investing in additional capexes.
Understood. And second question is about cash flow conversion. I understand that we are going through a capex and the measure of the funds will be blocked into the inventories. But what's the PAT to CFO conversion that we internally track, and at what level we will be able to take it further?
So your question is not clear.
Can you repeat, please?
So PAT to CFO conversion, at what level we internally do we track it internally, and at what level we would like to have it?
No, so see, currently we don't have any specific target on free cash flow versus PAT because normally we are in a growth phase and our working capital quantitatively will increase as soon as the growth increases on the sales front. Similarly, we have got number of capex targets, so we have to see that. So based on that, our free cash flow will be fully utilized in either feeding the own working capital or the capex requirement.
So by and large, what we are trying to ensure is that all our future growth takes place from our internal generation and not by external debt. So to the extent that there is room for us to grow, put in new capexes, we will continue to use our cash generation for that purpose.
Understood, sir. That's great to hear. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anand Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, around 2 quarters back in the call, you had indicated that, you know, we are going to make a few changes which should actually result in large power cost savings for us in FY24. You did not give more details about that, but would you be able to share some details in terms of the quantum of saving that we are looking at? What mechanisms are we going to use to do that?
See, at this point of time, again, we are freezing our alternative supply arrangements. So, you know, I would not like to talk much about it at this point of time till that has actually been done. But that is progressing very well. And as I mentioned, after maybe about once we have completed that in 18 months' time, we will have that additional power coming in, which will be at a fairly far more reduced prices than what we are paying at this point of time, either to the grid or for our own captive generation.
So, okay, the question is more like, you know, is it like internal heat recovery or is it going to be
We are tying up for additional power through different, through a different source, which will significantly reduce our power costs.
The second question is, you know, in terms of fluoropolymer capacity, you said that by FY23 end, we would have 1500 tons of specialty fluoropolymer capacity. How do you think this quantity, this will ramp up by FY24?
I think it will take about 12 months for all this capacity to be completely utilized.
In the sense that new capacity addition by FY24.
Yeah, I'm talking about new capacity addition, maybe up to 12 months. I mean, it will be a ramp up process, you know, and by the end of the financial year, we hope that the entire incremental capacity will be converted into sales.
No, I mean, creating new capacity in FY24, not the ramping up. Ramping up is very clear that FY23 capacities will ramp up in FY24. Creating new capacities in FY24 for specialty fluoropolymer.
So we will, most of this new capacity increase is likely to, so be coming in from two quarters. One is the debottling of the PTFE capacity, which is currently on cards. And secondly is additional capacity which will be putting up for PVDF for use by EV battery manufacturers. So that real demand is going to start coming from beginning of 2025, from January 2025, by which time we will put up additional capacities during the calendar year 24 to cope with that additional demand which will come in from 2025. So that will be additional increase in capacities. There will be a debottlenecking which is going to take place in our PTFE plants. That will increase further capacities. And we will be putting up some additional capacities in PFA. March 24.
So can you just repeat the capacity, additional capacity in PFA and PVDF that we are looking
for? So March 24, we will put up additional capacities of PFA. We will put up additional capacities of PVDF. Sorry?
The quantum in terms of tonnage. Like we'll end up 23 with 1500 tons. in 24, what will we end up with?
So by March 24, we expect to double the capacity of PFA.
Okay, sir. So like this 1500 will go to 3000 if I catch it right?
Yes.
Okay, so 3000 tons per annum. So far,
wrong. No, it's not 3000. It will be about 2400 tons.
No, that is only for PFA. I'm asking overall for fluoropolymers.
PVDF will be much larger. Actually, PVDF, we have to watch and see how the progress by commissioning of new battery capacity is there. Whether we put up, how much reactors we put up in 24 will be dependent upon that. But that is a continuous process. We will keep on putting up additional capacities of PVDF. As we see demand coming up, we'll keep on putting more reactors, because in any case, the backward integration piece is all done. And putting up PVDF capacity is modular. In six months' time, we can put up, reactors. So depending upon how the battery manufacturers commission their capacities, we'll keep on adding more capacity for PVDF.
Great, sir. One last question, if I may squeeze in, which is sir, looking at all this, we are currently doing this everything in our integrated complex. So do you think that, we are looking to have plans for a much larger capex and in a new complex altogether? Do we have any plans?
We plan to do it. The future expansion which will take place will have to be done a new complex, because we will be soon running out of land in our currently a new complex, but we are already in the process of selecting and finalizing additional land where we will house our capexes coming up in the future years.
Great, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Nagaraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
So first question is in terms of Q3. So is there any seasonality factor due to holidays in Europe and US, and that might impact some demand for some of the products which are going to that geography? Thank you.
Yes, it could. I mean, because the December month typically in Europe and US is muted. So the October, November, December quarter is a bit slower than other quarters. But the pace of business starts picking up typically from January quarter onwards.
All right. So second question is in terms of the capexes. So as I understand, earlier we had guided for LiPF6 by Q4 of, end of 2022, but now it's got delayed by a few months. So across the board, the delay is primarily because of the heavy rains in Gujarat, and that's why some of the capex which was there earlier planned for this year has got shifted to next year?
Yes. That's right.
Right. And so just one last clarification on the wind power project. I understand last quarter we had indicated that 20 megawatts will be commissioned in Q2. So any progress on that?
Yeah. It is already, we have sought certain permissions, which is underway. So we expect in this quarter we'll have those permissions. So
we are trying to put, there's been a change in plan. We are putting up this this capacity we are talking about in an EOU, because putting it up in an EOU gives us certain advantages, both in flexibility of using the power as well as some indirect cost benefits. So that process of getting the EOU clearance is on. As it so happens, there are delays in getting governmental approvals, but we hope that shortly we should be able to get that, and before the end of the year, in any case, all that will be commissioned.
Right, sir, got it. Thanks a lot for all the answers and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Marcel, an investor. Please go ahead. is the operator. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can.
Mr. Marcel, you can go ahead and ask your question.
I think Marshall is not there. We can move ahead.
We have the next question on the line of Dhaval Shah from Grid Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Congratulations, the great numbers and the great visibility of growth going forward. So just one question. A couple of quarters back, one of the conference calls you mentioned about, R32 being a commodity kind of product, and as a company, we were not planning to get into it, the manufacturing side. While now we have announced this 10,000 tons capacity. So what has changed our thought process towards this product?
See, we've done more extensive study in R32 because it has a very, very low GWP. The longevity of this and the growth in demand across geographies, again, especially India. Of course, India, this is going to be the prime, at this point of time, the main substitution for R22. So that's one, and there seems to be a lot of demand in the Middle East, which will be for 410, which requires both R32 and 125. And other than that, some of the other geographies also, like the US, etc., they will also continue to use 32 for a longer period of time, simply for this reason that it is a very low GWP, and it is, if they have to keep to their GWP targets, it's easier for them to use more of R32 and curb the use of some other refrigerants where the GWP is higher. So for all these reasons, we see that there is a growth potential there, and that is the reason why we have, that it will also help us in supporting our R125 business.
Understood. Great. And sir, second question is, you mentioned about EBITDA margin visibility to some participant. You said 30% plus. So is my understanding correct? So over a medium to long term, you feel our company will maintain its margins at like 30% EBITDA minimum? That's what I understand. Is that my understanding correct?
Well, that is what we expect. Who can predict the future? 1, 2, 3 years down the line, what happens is something which is not predictable, but we reasonably expect that we should be able to maintain, given the portfolio of our products, we reasonably expect that we should be able to maintain this level of margins.
Okay, okay. Because what has happened is that, like 1, 2 other, especially the chemical companies like ours, pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, the margin trajectory has completely changed. And, as investors, it always keeps us guessing, where could be the peak margins. So, I think, this sort of visibility, from your side, about 30% being a base will really help us.
As I mentioned, we think that with our portfolio of products and our product range, we would expect, the margins which are there in our business, we would expect that we should be able to keep to a 30% EBITDA margin. It's also not very easy. There are barriers to entry into our business, and it takes a long time to build this business, this customer base, get this qualification. So we have a reasonable hope that we will be able to maintain these margins. And some of our, the new expansions which are taking place again are in areas where we expect the margins to be better. And, those are more, sort of new age kind of industries. So we are hopeful that we will be able to maintain this level of margins.
Okay. And sir, in terms of our, we have a great integration across the different chemicals. And now, which would be those key raw material, which would, might worry you in terms of its availability, in terms of, for you to give a final product price to your consumer.
you know, that that vari- that raw material can act as a very no. large.
So you know, as you know, with our integration, that that is one of the primary reasons why we are so integrated and why we keep on, even with new products which you come up, we look at integration, is to ensure that we are in control of our raw materials, critical raw materials. And going forward also that will remain. So we, there might be periods of time where we are dependent upon outside purchase, but once we are able to, you know, sort of build the capacities for those critical raw materials, our dependence on outside supplies keeps on reducing. So this is what we are doing. Even at this point of time, for instance, we are putting up a VDC plant basically as a backward integration for our entire, you know, 142B business. So once that is commissioned, you know, our dependence upon external supplies reduces.
Okay.
So and either we are 100% on our own, or maybe at least a significant part is captively produced, so that we are only, you know, marginally dependent upon buying from third parties.
Okay, and we also were in a discussion with parties for long-term arrangement of lithium carbonate.
Yes.
Are we already into it? Or?
That, so that process is on. This takes time. So the process of tying up is on. There is a very, very strong focus on that. And I think in the next few quarters, we should be able to tie up some long-term supply sources for lithium. Before our big demand starts coming up, we would have tied up.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. We would like to thank you, all the participants, for their interest in the company, and we look forward for their continued participation. Thank you very much, all the participants.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.